The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open up our Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. We're going to get back into our lesson that we started the last time I was up, entitled El Shaddai. Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17, we're going to be looking at verse 1. That's going to be our launching off platform. And it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, when preparing this time for it, I had a chance to go back and look at some other translations of that verse. So I want to read some of those translations. The complete Jewish Bible says when Abram was 90 years old or 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk in my presence and be pure-hearted. Now, the Bible in basic English records that verse, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord came to him and said, I am God, ruler of all. Go in my ways and be upright in all things. The Living Bible translated that, when Abram was 99 years old, God appeared to him and told him, I am the Almighty. Obey me and live as you should. The Message Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, God showed up and said to him, I am the strong God. Live entirely before me. Live to the hilt. The New Living Translation records that when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. Now, I had said when, during the beginning of this year, when I check in with the Lord and see if it's going to, you know, if he's going to give me a topic to speak on during the year, or if I'm going to, you know, just every time I get up, it might be something different. I don't know. But this year, he gave me this topic to speak on, and at that time, I didn't have any notes. All I had was, I remembered I saw a book by Kenneth Hagin about El Shaddai, and I looked in that book, and I read that book, but, you know, that gave me a little bit of information, but it didn't really give me enough information to, you know, start formulating a sermon and things like that. And so I was like, okay, so I got this topic, Lord. What do you want me to do? And then when Pastor Woods had, you know, told me to speak that morning, it's like, well, I know the topic, but I don't have no notes. And then so I took down all the notes that I could during that time when I had to prepare. And when I got out here and started teaching, it went a whole different way. You know, and so I thank God for that. You know, we're learning. Oh, and let me put this plug here. Wednesday Bible study, we have been having a good time on a teaching about graces and places. We're watching some DVDs that he taught on. And it's been really good. And in one of the DVDs, he had talked about finding your place. And he had talked about when God called him into ministry and how he started ministering. And there was a time when he had notes, you know, but he really didn't know how to track in behind the Holy Ghost. And so basically what he would do is he would put his finger right there on the note, you know, where he was. And he knew he had to kind of walk around so the people didn't get tired. But he held his finger on the place where he was and, you know, going all the way around so he wouldn't lose his place. And, you know, I mean, that can be good in one aspect, but kind of, you know, keep the people kind of distracted because you're worried about losing your place. You know, now, even though I got 10 pages of notes, I don't even know how this is going to go. Amen. I'm just tracking behind the Holy Ghost. But I had asked the Lord, okay, so we're talking about El Shaddai, and we know that faith comes by hearing. And if you're going to have faith on a subject and want to see a manifestation of the word on that subject, you have to first hear about that subject. Then you have to speak words and agree about that subject in order for the subject to be manifested. You have to hear about a thing before you can have faith to believe about that thing so it can be manifested. Isn't that right? Okay, so you're going to have to hear about El Shaddai. You have to hear about Almighty God. You know, you might say, well, yeah, I know that he's Almighty God. Well, yeah, you might know it, but do you believe it? Have you heard? What have you done to activate your faith in Almighty God? Amen? See, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So are you feeding your faith on the word of God about El Shaddai? Amen. Are you building your spirit up concerning that word? Now, I'm going to say this because we got visitors and, you know, I don't know if they are aware of this, but, you know, it's good to always repeat things. One thing that I learned in the ministries that I've been in, Word of Faith ministries, that just because you said it once, people don't get it. And you might say it again, but it don't mean that they got it then. Sometimes you have to hear something 18 times in order for you to retain, I believe, 92% of it, at least 18 times. And if those 18 times sporadically throughout your life, you need to kind of double up on that because you're not, now, I'm not making a bad confession, okay? I'm just pointing out something. As you get older, there are times when you need to say things over and over or make a little note. Amen? I'll stop right there, okay? But sometimes you need to remind yourself of a couple things. And so if you heard something today and don't hear nothing about it, let's say until maybe 3 weeks from, you know, now, you might not have remembered what you heard today. Isn't that right? Okay, so have you been building up your faith on El Shaddai, God Almighty? Have you been building up your faith? So God gave me this to teach on, and in order for you to hear faith, someone has to be speaking words that are filled with faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we talked about the last time that your words are very important. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Now remember, if you're going to be looking for places in the Bible First of all, you're going to have a Bible in order to look for the place in the Bible. Isn't that right? So if you don't have a Bible, that means you need to either get a Bible or lift your hand, let the usher know you need a Bible in order for you to look in the Bible. Unless you got it on your phone or your tablet or whatever. Amen. You got Proverbs 18? Okay. Verse 21. Says, death and life are in the power of words. You could say in the power of words, because what does your tongue speak? Words. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Your words determine the type of life that you will live and the path that you will walk. It's not God's fault where you are. Did you hear that? It's not God's fault where you are. What have you been speaking? What have you been speaking? Now, let me just explain this, those of you who have never heard me speak. I used to, when I first started off, I went into the ministry in July of 1978. When I went into the ministry, and I was in the Baptist denomination, you know, their denomination used to, their denomination and a lot of other denominations, basically, when you preach, they expect you to get emotional and wave your hands and hoop and holler and all that. But you know, where that might be good in some cases, if the people don't learn anything, it is not worth it. Amen. Because, I mean, I can hoop and holler and all that, but if you don't get anything what God is saying to you, then what profit is it? I get sweaty, and all that, but if you don't learn anything, and if God's not in it, amen. So I just learned over the years, okay, this don't work because the people aren't getting blessed. So God's led me to go into teaching more than preaching and hooping. Now, sometimes that anointing does hit me. And when it does, you know it does. But, I want you to learn. I want you to get something out of this so it can change your life. See, the words that we've been speaking as our church confession, that's the change what you see right now. Now, right now, you don't see a filled sanctuary in the natural. But it will be manifested because we're saying that. Now, let me just put a pin right here. This past couple weeks, I started a series listening again to Keith Moore on reaping, how to harvest. And he said something that was very profound, but yet simple. He said, some people in the body of Christ think, and he was talking about as far as for offerings, he said that they think that they can make confessions, they can tithe, and they can give an offering, and then God automatically is going to give you the harvest. But he said, now think about this in the natural. A farmer who plants a seed or plants seeds, and then rain comes and waters the seeds and all that, will the farmer reap a harvest if he doesn't go out there and prepare to reap that harvest? Whose responsibility is it to bring the harvest in? So there's some action that has to take place from the farmer in order to reap the harvest. For your reaping, confession is a part of it. Speaking is a part of it. Giving is a part of it. But then there's a part of harvesting that you can't just expect God to do. You got to get out and do too. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Rob? For example, maybe God, in order for you to reap your harvest, gives you an idea to start a business. Well, by working your business, he now has a channel to bring in the harvest. Y'all get that? But if you say, well, I'm just going to speak this, I'm just going to give, I'm just going to say it, and I'm not going to do nothing. Well, I can't talk on that. I don't know everything. But I would say you're going to have to get out and do something. For example, if you don't have a job, you're going to have to go get a job or something. You got to have a chance. He needs a channel to work with. Isn't that right? Now, see, that's not in my notes. See? But he needs a channel. Amen. So you found out that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Hallelujah. You got it? Look at verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. See, there's a choice that has to be made. God's not going to make the choice for you, but he's telling you what you should choose. Choose life that you... Now, this is not only going to affect you, but look at this. And your seed may live. Choose life that you and your seed may live. So there are some choices that need to be made that if you do not make those choices, or let me put it this way. If you do not make the right choice, that you will not get the desired results that you want to be manifested in your life. They're not just going to fall on you like ripe cherries off of a tree. Amen. Y'all getting anything out of this? Okay. Now, Reverend Kenneth Hagin wrote a book called God's Not Guilty, So Don't Blame Him. Okay, so if you're not getting what you want, don't blame God. It's not his fault. Amen. He gave us a book filled with exceeding great and precious promises. But a lot of people, they take that book. When they leave church on Sunday, that book goes either in the cabinet or on the coffee table. And they don't pick it up until the following Sunday. Amen. It's not a lifestyle to them. If this is not a lifestyle, your life is not going to be changed. It's not going to be different. Amen. You have to apply what you see in the printed word. Amen. Or your life's not going to be changed. Amen. Now, you see, you can't break the rules that God has established in his word, whether it's in the area of healing, finances, or life in general, and then expect to reap a bumper crop harvest of God's blessings. It is not going to work. Say, it's not going to work. Y'all didn't say that loud enough. Say, it's not going to work. Amen. Because it's not. Amen. I mean, you can fuss, you can cry, you can just pitch a fit, but it's not going to work. You know, it's like going, I used this last time, it bears repeating. It's like going the wrong way and refusing to ask for directions or help. You keep telling yourself that you got this. As you pass that same landmark for the 20th time. Yeah, you got this. You know where you're going, okay? You got it under control. No, you don't. Amen. You need to ask for help. If you don't know, then you need to ask. Amen. That's the smart thing to do. You can pray, you can beg, you can talk to God until your tongue falls out your mouth. But it's not going to work. You will still be right where you started about with your situation, and it's not going to be changed because God is not going to break his word for you or to make you look good. He's not going to break his word. It's not going to work. God knows how to help us in every area of our life, but he's not going to override our will and bully his way into our life to fix our situation. Y'all get that? He's not going to do it. Amen. Now, we said that the title of this message is called El Shaddai, and this name is one of the seven covenant names that he revealed himself to his people Israel. El Shaddai is translated as God Almighty from the Hebrew. It also means the all-sufficient one or the God who is more than enough. Now, this name appears 48 times in the Bible, seven as El Shaddai. Now, there are four compounds of this name, El, that we find in the scripture. One of them is called El Elyon, the strongest one. El Rohi, which is the strong one who sees. El Alam, the everlasting God. And El Shaddai, the breasted one. Now, we are focusing our attention in this teaching on El Shaddai. The Hebrew word shad is often used to designate the bosom of a nursing mother. In the Bible exposition commentary of the Old Testament, it's stated that in the New Testament, the Greek equivalent of El Shaddai is used in 2 Corinthians 6:18. Go over there for a minute. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, it's also found in other scriptures in the New Testament, and I'm not going to go through all these scriptures, but El is the name of God that speaks of power. But what does Shaddai mean? Well, some scholars do not agree. Some say it comes from a Hebrew word meaning to be strong. Others prefer a word meaning mountain or breast. Metaphorically, it's a mountain, or mountain is a breast that rises up from the plain. And certainly, a mountain is a symbol of strength. If we combine these several ideas, we might say that El Shaddai is the name of the all-powerful, all-sufficient God who can do anything and meet any need. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Y'all get that? Yes. See, and that's what you have to hear faith about. That's why you have to hear that over and over. Yeah, we go to a church named El Shaddai. Well, what does that mean? You got to be able to tell people what that means. Amen. Hallelujah. And just not say, well, it's the church name El Shaddai. But what are you saying when you say El Shaddai? Amen. Almighty. See, I'm telling you, I love this because, yeah. Oh, let me say, thank you, Lord. I heard this week, and I had to explain this because, again, got friends here from work. I heard someone say, if you talk to God, it's called prayer. If he talks to you, it's called schizophrenia. You know, some people think that, okay? But I have to explain that because when I'm ministering, God talks to me. He's talking to me up here. And so I might go a different way. It's like, where are you going with this? It's like, I'm following him. I'm tracking behind his notes, okay? But when I think about God Almighty and just look back over my life. Now, I can't talk about your life because I don't know about you. But I can talk about my life. When I look back at the stuff that God has done for me and for my family, I'm telling you, he has shown himself to be God Almighty. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The all-sufficient one, the Almighty God. I'm telling you. I mean, now, I know my church family's heard this over and over, but I got to say this, okay? Because we got visitors, they don't know this. You know, let me point this out. If I'm not on break at work, then most of the time when I talk to my coworkers, I'm talking about work. Or briefly, we might talk about something else, but it's real brief. I don't preach when I'm at work, not on the clock. Because that's stealing.
Yes, it is.
Come on, say that again.
Amen. So they might not know this other than from either heard it from somebody else, but when Josh was born, he gets tired of hearing it, I know, but see, he's the one that started this, okay? No, but anyway, see, Josh was born. We didn't know Josh was coming until the day he was born. See, we had just moved up in West Oak Lane, was just getting settled. We hadn't been in the house a year. And we were planning on Memorial Day being, you know, having some, maybe just having a little cookout and all that and just having a nice, quiet Memorial Day in our new home.
Yeah.
Less than a year. Yeah, with all that room. We moved from a twin home in West Philly up to a four-bedroom, two-bathroom, two-full-bathroom home with a little bit of space out around and all that, two-car garage in the back and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, we had room.
Yeah.
And when the movers were moving us, they said, it's just you two? And we said, yeah. He said, yeah. And we got, you know, we had all this stuff. And he's like, really? So it was a lot of house, but it was all right. It met the need. So so we, you know, we were planning on Memorial Day being a nice, quiet time. All of a sudden, we had three services that Sunday. And, you know, we go to those three services. I mean, it was like, I think it was almost like 8 o'clock by the time we got out of the last service, somewhere around there. And in that last service, this man, our pastor, he asked the question, how many want God to add to you? And, you know, I'm back in the sound booth. Up both my hands. Yeah, I want God to add to me. I wasn't thinking, you know, anything else. And yes, I haven't raised both hands since then. And I've always listened and thought about the question. But anyway, so that night Dee come, you know, we get home and her back was hurting her and I didn't think about nothing. And you know, now let me point out this. Since January of that year, I had noticed that, you know, she had put on a little bit of weight. And, you know, if you're a husband, you tread very softly and lightly when you bring this up. And don't bring it up at all. Yeah, so I just mentioned to her, you know, I noticed you put on a little weight, you know, and you're eating a little bit more. You think you ought to go to the doctor and get it checked out, you know, make sure everything's cool. She said that she knew her body. So, you know what? I dropped the subject. That was it. That was all that she wrote and I wrote about the subject. So that night when she's, you know, said she had, you know, back, you know, pain, I didn't think nothing of it. It's like, well, we sat on wood benches at that last church for about 3 to 4 hours. So to me, that gate, because even though I was in the sound booth, I was still hurting, okay? And, you know, so I was like, okay. That morning, I said, you know, if you're not feeling better, we'll take you to the hospital and get you checked out. That morning, when she got up, she was still having problems, and, you know, she basically needed help walking a little bit, and was like, okay. I said, well, let's take you to the hospital and get you checked out. And so when she got back to her room to get dressed, she had a seizure. Now, at that time, now, I had been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues since 1983. As soon as she had that seizure, my brain went tilt because I don't know what to do on this. So I started praying in the Spirit, helped her onto the floor, made sure that she didn't, you know, bite her tongue and things like that, called 911. They send the paramedics. The paramedics come, and they ask me this question. Is your wife pregnant? Not that I know of. Now, at that point, then they started to look at me like, are you two married or, you know? So I'm like, look, all I can tell you is I don't know, okay? They said, well, the reason that we ask the question is because we feel either a head or a butt, we don't know. And I'm like, okay, so you guys are going to take her to the hospital and yeah, and I'll just tell me where you're going and I'll meet you there. Okay, so this is 7 o'clock in the morning on Memorial Day. They take her to the hospital. I start making phone calls. I got to call her mom. I got to call my parents. I got to call folks. I called one person that I didn't mean to call and woke them up. You know, they're in a different time zone. And so I'm thinking, well, I couldn't be thinking at that time. I didn't know what to think. All I know is, God, what is going on here? So I get to the hospital, and first I ask for where my wife is in emergency, and they say, she's not there. What do you mean she's not there? That's where the paramedics told me that they were taking her. She's not here. Oh, she's in maternity. Where's maternity, okay? I go walk around to maternity. I go through the doors. I see the paramedics and I see the doctor they're talking to. I walk up to them and the paramedics introduce me to the doctor and the doctor says, well, we believe your wife is pregnant. She's about 32, 34 weeks. We don't know because she didn't have any prenatal care. She had a seizure because her blood became toxemic and all that. And, you know, baby's coming today. I'm like, hold it. Today? Baby? Wait a minute, time out. Aren't we supposed to have some heads up or know, you know, about this type of stuff? You know, give us some warning about this? Sir, all we can tell, I said, wait a minute, hold on, time out. I said, she didn't, she still had her period and all that, and the Bible, I mean, the baby, the baby kicking and all that, how do you explain this? They didn't tell me about this in phys ed. So when the doctor finally got through to me that a baby was coming that day, I said, excuse me. I wanted to find a phone booth, not to become Superman, but to cry for help, okay? So I called Pastor Woods. I said, Pastor Woods, how you doing today? Yeah. And I run through the story. And he says, And I said, I need some help. So he said, all right, we'll get ourselves together. We'll be there in a little bit. And you might have thought I lost where I was going with this, but we're talking about God Almighty, okay? Yes. So they asked me, they said that we're going to try to induce natural birth, but if that doesn't work, we're going to do a C-section. So do you want to be in there? And again, I'm just out there. I'm like, yeah, because I want to see you take a baby out, okay? You know, because I'm like, this is a lot. I haven't had breakfast. I'm telling you, all you tell me is she's pregnant. There's going to be a baby today. We don't have nothing to do. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So Pastor Woods comes. He calls other people from the church. They come. Family, we basically took over the hospital. Family came and all that, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So they couldn't induce natural birth. So we go to the room to have the C-section, and they say, you all right? I say, I'm fine, you know. I'm fine, you know. They say, you want to stand on this end? I said, no, I'm fine, right back here. You know, if you take one out, I'll see it, okay? So, I mean, they do the C-section, baby comes out, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like, oh, God. And I'm thinking, like, Lord, okay, it's Memorial Day weekend. There goes the picnic. My wife's in the hospital having a baby. I got to call both her job and my job on Tuesday and tell them that we're going to be out a couple days because my wife just had a baby. The Friday before, this was funny. One of the coworkers that I was working with at that time said, when are you guys going to have kids? And I said, this is what I said. Oh, yeah. I said, we've been married about 18 years. I was like, you know, look, if it happens, that's fine, but we're not rushing anything. We're not able. You know, it's like, look. So I'm like, don't be. I said, kids will work if you do it right. And raising them, they'll work. Amen. If you don't, if you're gonna do something right, you might well do it right than wrong. And so I had to call in for, you know, both of us, and they was like, what do you mean she's, her job was saying, what do you mean she had a baby? I said, that's a very good question. All I can tell you is she had a baby. I was there. I know. So, you know, but I'm talking about God Almighty. He was delivered 3 pounds, 2.5 ounces. Even though she didn't have any prenatal care, he was healthy. He didn't have no issues. He was only on oxygen about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours tops. When we went up to see him, my brother-in-law and I went up to see him in through the nursery, and they had this little hat on him, and he was over there on this side, and all of a sudden you saw a hat come flying. I was like, did you see that? He said, yeah, I saw that. So the nurse went and put the hat back on, and all of a sudden you saw it go. I was like, wow. And he was, you know, usually babies, when I saw babies, their eyes are closed and all that and don't have that much hair. He had a full head of hair. He was, his eyes wide open, like looking like, hi, how you doing? I'm here, you know. And, you know, it's like, oh, man. So I'm looking, I'm saying, God. But God showed himself faithful. He showed himself as God Almighty. And that night when I went home, I'm in a house by myself. After going through all that during the day, I lay back on the bed and said, Lord, you must have a good sense of humor because you probably got a good laugh at me today. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. But he took care of him. Yes. Now, you know, one thing, over the years, you know, they tried to say that Josh was autistic. And I said, no. Me and my wife, we agreed. We said, uh-uh. He's not autistic. And what God did over the years is we had to make some moves to put him in the right place where he could excel. But when we did that, God over the years, he's been making the honor roll since, I believe, fourth grade or fifth grade. And fourth grade. And, yeah, because he got all his honor roll certificates all over his wall and all. Amen. And so, you know, like this year is his junior year, and he's been doing all A's. So what we had to do, amen, to God be the glory. What we did is we said that we're not going to speak that over him. And we've been saying that he excels in wisdom and understanding. God helps him and all these other things that we put into our confession, and God has done. He has shown himself as God Almighty in his life and in our lives. But see, in order to do that, we had to have first a foundation of knowing God Almighty. And I got to say this, and I always say this, but I thank God for sending me and my wife to this church, because this church has been a blessing to us. And, I mean, the people, I mean, when I thought about the people who, you know, gave up their Memorial Day just to come out and be with us, to support us at that time. We had just got basically there. And I was grateful because God was using not only his people, but he was doing things to others. They got together. They, you know, helped us to get the stuff that we needed because we didn't have, when I say we didn't have nilch, nothing, anything, because we weren't even thinking baby. Amen. But to God be the glory. Just one example of God being El Shaddai in our lives. Amen. And he doesn't just want to do it for one person. He wants to do it for everyone. But you got to believe him for it. Amen. Well, I got to stop. I only got a little bit into here, you know, but it's okay. But, you know, this is something that we're going to, if, you know, if the Lord allows us to get back into it, we'll do it again. And we're expecting to see El Shaddai, God Almighty, show up strong and mighty on this church's, or in your lives and in this church's behalf. Amen. Amen. Y'all get anything out of this? Glory to God.